Hey guys, before we start this episode, I want to tell you about this class that I just put out on blessedandbossedup.com. So I wanted to put together something for all of you guys that are trying to figure out how to plan for your business in the new year. As many of you guys know, I have a master's in business. I have been a full-time entrepreneur for almost 5 years now. And one of the things I wish people taught me was how to be an executive. I learned that in business school, but I don't see too many people really talking about what it means to strategically plan for your business. And I'm a firm believer that if you start building the house before you lay the foundation, it just will not last long. And I'm tired of people being taught how to build houses without that foundation. And so I'm pulling together some resources so that you guys could have everything that you need at a super low rate to be able to strategically plan for your business. So of course, I wouldn't be me if I didn't talk to you about doing business God's way. So I'm pulling my class from the bundle we did a few weeks ago. And so you'll have access to that on how to find the flow of doing business God's way. Then last week, I did a live within the society breaking down strategic planning for their business. So I went through step by step a business plan as well as a 5-year plan and what you need to do to be able to plan for your company. And so I'm pulling that class and adding it to this class as well. In addition to that, there's some downloads on there. So I have a business plan template for service-based businesses and a business plan template for product-based businesses. And a template that you can use to start planning the 5-year goals and the 5-year plan for your company. So I'm pulling all of those things together because I want you to go into 2022 with more than a vision board. I want you to go with a concrete plan for whatever it is that God is calling you to build and a concrete plan on how to do it His way. So I pulled those things together. It's available for you now. I have the link in the show notes. So you just click it on it. It'll take you straight there. I'm doing it at a very low rate. So it's only $49 for this course. I have it set at a certain inventory. So once it's gone, it's gone. But I wanted to bring these things that I've presented in different places into one place at a low rate so you can take advantage of it. Again, the class is all about strategic business planning for new entrepreneurs, and you can just click the link in the description to get access to it for a limited quantity. So again, once it's gone, and then the next time I decide to put something together, we'll see what happens there. So take advantage of this ASAP so that you can plan for a successful new year and years beyond for your business. Let's start the show. You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, here is part two of my interview with Rosalyn, Sharla, and Kavaya, the Super Society. You can catch our full interview, our full conversation on YouTube at Tatum Tamia, and I'll put the link to the video right in the show notes for you. This is the last episode of 2021, so I want to wish you guys a happy new year. I pray you had a wonderful Christmas holiday. And I pray that you're getting some rest and use this episode to be light, get some laughs with me and my girls, learn a little something, something, and just enjoy. So without further ado, here's part two of my interview, The Super Society with Rosalyn Renee, Dr. Sharla Walker, and Kavaya Watrice. Because a lot of people are in that space where the folks in their life, they don't want to do that work. So do they just let them go? How do those friendships healthily transition? Because I feel like a lot of times people, I've seen folks who they get saved and they start getting judgy on all of their friends. Like, hold on now, relax. You are a new creature, but baby, I remember the old creature.
Come on.
So I feel like some people get to the point where they're judgy. I think some people also get to the point where they maybe are just frustrated because they don't know how to, you know, exist still in these spaces, mm-hmm. while moving towards what God is calling them to do. So do you guys have any tips on just how to navigate those relationship changes? And some people try to force their friends on that journey as well, and they're just not ready for that. So any tips on how to just navigate those friendship dynamics as you continue to grow in the things of God?
I think it's just the fact that, like, for me, I learned that I have one job description, and that is to love. It's not my job to judge you. I may not agree, and that's okay. I don't have to be a part of the things that I don't agree with, or, you know, if you call me, know that it's going to be scripture that I'm given. And so I think really setting expectations, really leading with a heart of love, which is hard sometimes, and not coming from a place where you are being judgmental. Sometimes it's hard because you see the answer and you're like, girl, if you would just leave that little raggedy man alone, then we could do some things. But not being so like heavenly sound that you're no earthly good. So I can still have a regular conversation with you. We can still talk about whatever shows I am watching. And if I'm not watching, we can change the subject. It doesn't always have to be, you know, we're called to be in community. Like, it's not good for us to be alone. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are in community. So, like, community is something that is really foundational in our walk. And then also being a reflection of Jesus. Jesus was out here with the people, with the tax collectors, eating with them and loving on them, and would share parables or stories that sometimes, you know, that those who would catch it was going to catch it. And if you didn't, you just thought he was talking about somebody with some talents in the ground. So I think really just having a level of still enjoying life, because that was my fear too. Like, it felt like a box. I was like, let me tell you what I'm not about to do. I'm not about to be out here wearing no jean skirts every day. I'm not about to be out here. Like, I'm not doing that. I need to be able to be myself authentically, because I had spent so much time wearing these different masks. So just really remaining authentic to what God has called you to do, which is to love. Everything else is above you. Like, know your role and hush. That's what The Rock used to say. Now, like, know that my only role is to love you. Sometimes that love means I have to tell you something that may be uncomfortable. Sometimes it's just to listen. Sometimes it's just to pray for you, even quietly or silently. But my job is not to change you, because I didn't make you to change you. And I'm several degrees of raggedy myself. I ain't got time.
I don't want to talk over you, sis. So if you want to say something.
Yeah, no. Honestly, you can go, because I had the same group of friends since I was like 12. I feel like I have been blessed in that area of life. So go ahead.
I would say one thing I learned a couple of years ago, because I had to cut off some really like longstanding relationships, friendships that have been like 10 years or more, and had to kind of just sever ties. And one of the things I learned is to kind of, and this might sound sad or bad to say, but I categorize a lot of my friends. And I mean that in the sense of, like, there are a lot of people that are at different phases in life. Like, I'm a mom and a wife. I have friends that are single, but they have a business. So we can talk about entrepreneurship. And what I've learned is that categorizing my friends in a lot of different ways, my married friends are my married friends. My friends that I talk to about money are my friends I talk about money. And some are more in some ways, but money, family, motherhood, let's see, working out, which is, you know, still a whole struggle. But food, and just like, how do I balance this stuff? How do I, some of my friends who I've been friends with literally since we were kids, we just talk about life. And I think what happens is God shows up in those friendships, because I'm not putting so much expectation on my friends to be everything friends. Like, I can't talk about marriage. Like, you won't understand that. Not in a bad way, not to say you can't support me if I'm having a problem or a situation with Nico, but like, it just looks different. And so, but that doesn't mean we can't talk about how something was shady that somebody else said, and we could talk about that. And like, oh girl, why your boss say something crazy to you? Like, let's talk about that. We can talk about work and those things. And I think
I had coworker friends when I was working my full-time job, and we were real good friends. But when I left, you know, that's a whole other thing, sis. But I say that to say, like, a big tip I would say is categorize your friends. Don't put so much expectation on them if they are not at that place to want to talk about spiritual things, to expect them to do that. But they can talk about family. Now, if they say something crazy that you don't agree with, that doesn't mean cut them off. I think we get so quick to just be like, cut off people instead of understanding grace means having maturity. Grace means having humility. Grace means understanding that if something is toxic, okay. But if something is where somebody's going through something, there's still a level of grace that you can offer. And my friends that aren't married or not in like serious relationships, they still have some value to me because there's a level of wisdom that they may have in something that I may not be or may not be at that point. And so love shows up, I think, in those spaces when I myself don't put so much expectation on them to be everything friends, but just my friend. And I have business friends. We just talk about business. And I have friends where we just fast together. Then I have friends where I talk about spiritual stuff. And I may be deeper with some than others. That doesn't take away the value of the friendship or the trust. It just means that there are different spaces in my life and they still offer healthy and good value to me as friends.
I think that's good because God can use anybody to speak to you, right? So it's not always a word from a saved person. It may be you being able to observe the behaviors of other people and God give you a level of revelation. Like if I see you in a ditch, I'm going to ask you, hey, how you got there? Okay, maybe if I can't help you out, fine. But if not, I'm going to learn from the mistakes that you've made or things that I see that you can do differently, or even challenging ourselves to like whatever you think may be annoying you in that other person, check yourself in that area first. Because a lot of times it's a reflection of something that you're doing or not doing. So like to me, I love consistency in people. Be one way. If you're crazy, commit to that. That's all I'm asking. And then we'll commit you somewhere. Like, but commit to that. Be stable in what, you know, a double-minded person, it agitates me. But then I had to ask God because somebody in particular was driving me up a wall with this. And I was like, okay, God, why is this bothering me so much? And where am I struggling in the area of being consistent? And he was like, you are not consistent in taking care of your body and working out. And I was like, I'm a hush. I can't talk about this no more. I'm going to hush until I boss up in this area because that's the work that's required. And so I think I love that not pulling on one person, but having multiple sources. We talk about multiple streams of income, but even multiple streams of relationship. The relationship that I have from person to person is valuable and we can't be afraid and we have the right to reposition ourselves and reposition people. You may not have to cut that person off, but it may be a season where they've been repositioned because they can't be close. Jesus had a lot of people that followed him, but only 12 was here, right? Mm-hmm. And so understanding that you have the right to reposition people in your life and not feel guilty, because that still gives them the opportunity to see what God is doing in your life and to see the light and to still learn, but also gives you the space to where you can be at peace with all people. And that doesn't mean that you do that in a way that's toxic, but you have to also be at peace with yourself. So I need to move you over here so I can be at peace with you and me, because I'm going to choke you out if I don't.
Yeah, I'm somebody who's really big on relationships. I'm big at cultivating relationships. Like when I meet good people, I'm always trying to like help them or be a support in any way that I can. Like I really love meaningful relationships. I don't need a ton, but the ones that I have are very meaningful. And when I started just really growing in God, I'm kind of like Kavai in a sense where I have a lot of friends that I've been friends with for a long time, since like middle school, high school. We've gone through so many life changes together. And just because I'm saved don't mean, and they may not be on the same page, doesn't mean I don't love them anymore. You know what I mean? And I always had the mindset of I'm going to find the support I need in this area, but I'm not going to leave my people behind. How am I going to go out and try to win souls that I don't even know, and I'm just going to desert the people that I actually love and care about?
Yep.
And one thing that I learned just in maintaining my friendships as I continue to grow is that model behavior is a powerful thing. God will really minister to the people in your life just based off of your commitment to him. Like, you don't even have to do anything. I got a friend of mine. She's the one where if you mess with me, she gonna pull up at your door because she know I can't. And she gonna be like, don't worry, Tatum. I got this. I know you got a brand to protect. I got this. Like, that's the one. And, you know, I'll be talking to her sometimes and it's so funny because she'll be like, well, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that, but I'm going to have to just pray about it. God going to have to tell me what to do. And I'll be like, when you start saying that? When you start saying that? And I'm like, they learn to respect you because if they're your real friends, they love you.
Right.
Right. They love you. They care about you. And they don't look at you pursuing God as a slight to them. They want to see you be great. And that change behavior is going to minister to them as well. And so I'm big on just finding a tribe you need. Because sometimes you got to go in. One of y'all said, like, put yourself in those positions to find those people. That's why we have this society. But put yourself in the positions to grow with people who may already be at that point that you want to pour into you. But don't desert the people that you love, man. Right. I want to see all my folks in heaven.
Yes. Yes.
Let's kick it up there with the angels. Okay.
Streets is gold.
I want to train out of one of them streets.
I bet you it's delicious.
I want the wine from heaven. I want to know what
they're going to do. Yes.
So somebody said in the comments, a party. Absolutely. Okay.
A whole party.
So we all touched on gifts in some type of way. After you guys started just growing in your relationship with God and learning what this life takes, how did you go about cultivating those gifts that he revealed to you?
I feel like for me, like as far as like speaking and when he was like really calling me to get more on video, that was a very fearful period for me. Like, putting myself out, I've always kind of struggled with fear, right? And kind of like the confidence and knowing like, do people even want to hear this? Are people going to watch? Are they going to listen? And that was a really big battle for me. Even when like, you know, I told y'all when I first feel like I discovered that first part of my purpose with launching the blog and I seen that gift of words, like I launched my blog and turned my phone off because that's how afraid I was. But it was something that you just couldn't like, I can't sit on this, you know, like I can't not put this out there because I'm afraid when obviously, and it was also confirmed through other people, you know, you get prophecies and it's just all lining up and it's like, I can't sit on this. So for me, it was just pushing past the fear and just doing it. Like there's no, to me, it's no like recipe of, all right, well, let me wait till this. And like, you can't continue to make up those excuses just to make yourself feel better about it. Like when it came to, like I said, putting the blog out and doing the video, getting on YouTube and talking about things, I just had to do it. And through doing that, like you'll see the fruit of it. You know what I mean? You'll see why in due time, why you have to put it out there, launch the podcast, write the book, whatever the case may be. But it's always been kind of like a fear thing for me, but just pushing through and doing it, that's what I've had to do every single time.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I'll say, I think confidence comes by doing. I think the only way I can call myself a podcaster is because I do a podcast consistently. The only way I can call myself an author is if I've published a book. Like, I think confidence comes by doing. And I think when you're discovering your gifts, I feel like it's just like it's never a one size fits all for each person. I think you just kind of, I won't say you fall into it when you're actively like pursuing it, but I think in the pursuit of gifts, you really don't know a lot of times what you're gifted at. Like, I think even in a sense too, there are still some things that people may say, oh my God, I'm good at being myself. I'm like, really, girl? Okay. Out of just doing actively and not really focusing so much on naming it all the time. I think that's something that I learned really quickly as my podcast grew, was not trying to really name the things I was always good at, because I didn't want to, I've always had like this growth mindset, and I never wanted to get like, will I want to still do this when I'm 45? I may not podcast by the time I'm 45. I may, if that's what God wants me to do, but I think I want to be able to grow as the ground I'm cultivating is growing. And I think there are some things now that I want to delegate that I may be gifted at, and I don't want to marry myself to always doing it if I have to, if I don't have to. And so I think with just discovering your gifts, you go where your desires lead and you just keep doing it. I think that's just the simple pursuit of it. As far as like what Kavaya said and being fearful, there have been times where I've said yes quickly to God and I'm just like, whoa. And then there are times I've delayed the yes out of fear. And sometimes it takes me a little bit longer to really see the fruit of it. And I think learning to say yes quickly and just acting and doing that, you start to begin to see, like, God push you through the trial and errors. You're going to make so many mistakes. And that is easily probably the biggest thing I'll say helps you to understand yourself even more, how you react in certain situations. Yeah. And in saying that, your gifts get better as you do that. And I don't think mistakes are really mistakes. I think mistakes are really just learning curves. Because when you're learning something, it just looks ugly in the beginning until you really continue to do it. And so I'll say, even doing before podcasting, I joined a multi-level marketing company. And at the time, they were talking about doing live streams to show products. And I was like, girl, this was way back in Facebook Live, like when Facebook's first, like, do lives. I'm like, oh girl, okay. So I started doing lives and I saw that it sold products. And then when I kind of left that company, God put on my heart to just get on live and share my story. That yes of doing lives for a company probably would not have happened if God had told me to do that beforehand. And so I think for me, in kind of finding gifting, is just like, it always happens in phases. And I think God slowly reveals the more you do, but sometimes you're oblivious to how he does it. And then that led to me doing interviews live on Facebook, then led to the podcast. I probably would have never done the podcast if I had not gone through those phases. And so I think as you start to do things, notice where they start. Like Kavaya said, started with the blog, then ended up going to YouTube, then ended up going to some other stuff. And so I think it just comes in phases and you're always growing. And your gifts never, I feel like, ever stop coming, because God just puts you in new spaces. And you're ever evolving.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I agree. I know I also was fearful. When God told me to start a podcast, I absolutely was like, first of all, what? Tried to talk 85 times about, like, I was okay, God, I'll do it after I get this, that, and the third. And he straight up asked me if I was going to be disobedient. He's like, so you're choosing disobedience? And I was like, oh, okay. And so I really had to commit myself to God, and even when it's uncomfortable for me. And so for me, my motivation is like, you know what? There's a level of vulnerability that goes into us starting these new things, moving into these ventures and finding our voice. And what I've learned over the years, even recently when God was like, start going live on video, I was, had he asked me to do that first? No, I will not. No. But he got me comfortable with getting behind a microphone and speaking every week. Now he's like, girl, now you're doing a good job, girl, you're doing a good job. But now I need you to go to the next level, because there's more territory. And so understanding, one, that my confidence comes in two areas, one being my confidence in God, right? In Numbers 20, I think it's 23:19, God is not a man that he shall lie. But one of the translations also says, like, has he ever done something and it ain't came to pass? And I was like, that part. Mm-hmm. So my confidence is in God, and then my confidence in the gifts that he's given me and what he's called me to do. And so it takes a lot of pressure off of me, because the burden of results is not on Charlotte. The burden of results is on God. And so a lot of times we fail to step out and do what God has called us to do because we feel like there's a burden of results on us. All I got to do is pull up. All they had to do was tear the roof off, get the friends of Jesus. He did the rest. The healing was all God's work. All the lady had to do was touch the hem of his garment. The rest of it is the results are on God. Once we are able to take that step of faith, and we realize that the burden of results are not on us and what we deem as success is not always what God deems as success, it can be discouraging sometimes. When I first started my podcast, to see that like two people had listened to it, I'm like, I'm putting all this work, God, like, what? But I'm going to do it anyway, because that's two lives that may have been changed, or two souls that are going to get into heaven. God cares about, he'll leave the 99 for the one. So it's not always it's not about me, right? And I had to start positioning it of like, Charlotte, who suffers because you don't, because you are disobedient? Who suffers because you are sitting on your gifts? When we think about I was studying about the wicked servant, and that word in the Greek and Hebrew, it doesn't mean necessarily always evil, but one translation said burdensome. Am I being a burden to God because I'm refusing to produce? Like, that's a problem. And so because he's done so much for me, I'm not going to go out like that. Like, I'm just going to have to do it. Like Kavaya said, there is no recipe. You just have to make a decision and stick to it. And as you continue to go, God will reveal things to you and you'll understand the importance behind it. But in the beginning, you just got to do. Like, you just got to show up and do it.
So after y'all like showed up, what did you do to like cultivate those gifts once you realized that it was in helping people and it was in writing and these different gifts he revealed to you? How did you cultivate those gifts so that you can, you know, execute on them?
So I started listening to this podcast called Blessed and Bust Up. Girl, you should. No, one of my friends had introduced me to your podcast, and I don't always invest in myself. That's something that my husband pushes me to do. And I have really, I don't know why, but I just feel like there's better uses for money than to invest in myself. And so I listened to your podcast and was like, oh, there's other people out there like me. That was the first thing. Like, yes, finally, there's other humans who are on fire for God, but not 60. Great. that is encouraging. But then even committing to go to the podcast retreat, right? Like, to put my money where my mouth was, because where your heart is, your treasure is also young in that. Mm-hmm. And so really saying, okay, God, I'm going to make this investment into the gift that you've given me so I can get the strategy. Making the investment into studying God's word more, because I'm not about to show up and be the person that kind of hindered my walk with God, thinking that he was out here cutting my life every day. So committing to showing up correctly. I'm a student. And so, you know, reading, really learning, talking to people and finding out where they were struggling with, but really the investment into doing the Find Your Voice Academy retreat. The fruit that came out of that, never in my lifetime would I have thought it would be this. It would be the super society. It would be all of these things that came from it. And quite frankly, that junk is overwhelming. So like, God, like, because I'm like, I did not see it. I was like, I gotta, you know, like, God, hey, do what? You see, I done made 10 cents on Anchor and I done been doing this for 8 months now. What you want me to do? You want me to do what? So not being afraid to invest in what God has called you to do, because the return is going to be 30, 60, 100 fold, and it's going to show up in ways that you would have never imagined. So really making the investment of even time, if you don't have money, taking the time, talking to people and really diving deep into, okay, God, you say we doing this now? I'm all in.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I'd also say for me, because you said like after you cultivate those gifts, right? Mm-hmm. I think for me also another piece is like stepping back, because I think a lot of the times, like, especially if I'm like doing something big or something that's like taking a lot out of me, for me, I'm like, I'm like, okay, what's next? Like, I'm always ready to be like, all right, God, what are we doing next? Or ready to see what I can do next. You know, I'm just a, I don't know if the word is performer, I don't know, but I can go. I'm very headstrong. And I like to have goals and I like to crush those goals. But I think here lately, I've been seeing like, okay, also like the rest part of it, or the part of like being still and even enjoying whatever came from that gift. If I'm doing like a launch or something like that, I don't take time to really like smell the roses sometimes. And that's something I'm trying to implement more in my life and my business right now. So I think that's a big thing for me right now, is like resting, taking a step back, and being able to even like applaud myself for everything that I've done, like the 3 year of entrepreneurship just passed, and I'm like, whoa, we've really been like, yes, we've been doing this. It's been hard, but I'm here. Listen, I don't miss a meal. I have my car. I'm about to move into my own place. Like, thank you, Lord. Okay. So yeah, I think that's big for me right now. And I think, like Charlotte said, like talking to people, you know, especially like, I feel like with us, the things that we do, like I started therapy this past year. So yes, yes, it's been a lot, but it's better. I don't cry every session now. So that's growth for me. The first few sessions, I was like, girl, I don't like this. I'm already emotional and a crier, but I'm not crying every session now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's the big thing for me, like after, you know, just taking that time to be still, to rest, I think has been really big for me.
So I'm gonna come in real opposite of everybody. I have to go back to God to try not to run away, because one of my prayers before I quit my job was to, I literally asked God to help me to believe the fruit I'm seeing, because I was just like, this is good, but this don't happen again. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really want to run the opposite direction. Just let me stay comfortable. And so cultivating gifts, it has been a challenge for me, because I always tell God, couldn't you have given me something else? Couldn't you have been something a little more sexy? Couldn't you? Because, you know, like, I'm in the emotional space. I'm already like sensitive and emotional anyway. So, you know, it's just it's a whole thing. So now you want me to talk to people about it? And it's supposed to help them. And people are telling me, and it's helping them. And it's just like, to me, I just want to run the other direction. I know the root of it is pride, but a lot of it is, you know, what could this be? And I think, I really have to stay before him about not running the other direction. So me cultivating gifts is investment. Me cultivating gifts is just constantly staying before God about it. Mm-hmm. Me cultivating my gifts is relying on my support. Sometimes I'll, you know, do a SWOT analysis survey of people that I really am close to, and I respect their opinion of, what do you think that I'm good at? What do you think? How do you look at this? I'm big on just opinion when it comes to, I'm not sure, but out of not being sure, I've learned to also not rely on opinion too much. And so for me, the top one is just not running the other way, because there have been times where I remember there was a time last year where God was like saying, you're resisting me. And I was like, oh God, Lord Jesus, okay, I know what that scripture says. You resist the proud, Lord, and I ain't trying to resist you, because I don't need that smoke, okay? Mm-hmm. But I think it's really hard when you do see fruits of obedience. And I don't think that's talked about often, of how it can often make you say, what is happening? Things the Holy Spirit gives you that you weren't taught. Things that you say that you're like, I don't even know where this came from. And it's changing people's lives. Like, what, that there's just not a lot of conversation about this. So for me, it's just not running the other way. And so that means just staying before God and really just reminding myself of the why and believing the fruit and that it's good fruit. So that's what it is for me. And, you know, I mean, Find Your Voice Academy was just...
It was.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
It gave
me. I feel like, you know, I'm going to toot the horn. You know, I was in the first one, so.
Come on.
Talk about it, you know.
Come on.
So, but you know, I'm gonna lay that to rest because you know I'll call Tatum the podcast godfather, but and she'll look at me sideways. But here we are.
Yes, because that virtual one was.
Why are you rolling your eyes?
The box. He was the box for me. The minute that box showed up, I said, "You know what? Okay, girl, you gonna come back and take these flowers?" No, I think something else too. Because we're all talking about cultivating our gifts in God, but everybody on here has went to therapy, and so even highlighting the fact that sometimes cultivating your gift does not look like me spending, me buying every course online. Tatum, don't judge me. Me buying every online course. My most recent investment in cultivating my gift has been starting to work out with a personal trainer. And the places in which God is carrying me to go, I have to be in shape. Like I have to have a level of endurance. I have to position myself to where I'm not dying at, you know, 35. I have to be like, if I'm on 600 pound life, how am I about to be out here doing what God has called me to do? Okay, frying chicken in the
bag. Wow, you're not going to be on 600 pound life.
I watched that to help me feel like, okay, girl, we can do this.
Okay. I don't want to laugh.
I'd be watching them. I'd be like, oh. Not when I'd be like, you did not try to do. But even in that, like the enemy will use that. And so being investing in my gift right now in this season looks like getting starting with a trainer and being consistent in that. So in doing that, there's a level of growth. God has revealed things to me mid-workout where I'm like, can you not talk? I'm struggling. I can't breathe. And even in that being a learning curve, I think, Rosalind, you said earlier that when you're doing something new, it's ugly. I be on Zoom. I be looking ugly. I be like, girl, look at your edges in the middle of this workout. You're sweating.
Nobody looking at your edges in the middle of a daggone
workout. You look crazy. Like, right? And it does not feel, it doesn't feel good. But this is more than, it's an investment in who God has called me to be. This isn't about me being snatched, right? And so don't be afraid to go to therapy, to get the trainer, to go back to school if that's what God is calling you to do. In the practical sense, he's preparing you. All things work together for your good. So all of it is preparation, even when you feel like it's not, it doesn't make sense. Like I have my doctorate and I'm a nurse practitioner, but there are things that I learned working at McDonald's that I've implemented working in clinic. And so it's every lesson, every season, every class, right? Every godly class has a reason. So don't be afraid to go to therapy. I don't care what your mom and them say about people being in your business, because sometimes privacy is really shame in disguise. And so you're not wanted, like the enemy will well, I don't need nobody in my business, but that's really shame, boo. And it's really trying to make it shame will present itself in that way, almost as a protective or a protectant. And really somebody else has what you need. There's somebody out there who's struggling in their marriage. There's somebody else out there who will have you looking like an IG model if you just keep up with the diet and stuff. Like there's somebody out there who have struggled in these areas, and we can't allow things like, girl, don't let nobody be in your business. That's why people out here being molested. That's why people are out here living with these generational things of deathbed confessions. And so as generational curse breakers, we have to be prepared to count the cost, even at the expense of what your mama and them got to say, what your auntie and them got to say. They don't have to understand it because it's an audience of one. They can just watch the fruit.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Hiring isn't just about finding somebody willing to take the job. I need the right person with the right background who can move our business forward. If I wanted candidates who match what I'm looking for, I trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results that you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people that you want faster. And it makes a big difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored job posts directly on Indeed are 90% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. Because you reach a bigger pool of quality candidates. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Y'all know I have a lot on my plate, and if I needed to hire an assistant, Indeed is exactly where I will go. And I will go and be very specific. I need someone who is tech savvy, who knows how to assist someone who has multiple brands, somebody who was forward-thinking, a problem solver, and who has done this for at least 5 years. And here's the thing with Indeed sponsored jobs. I get people who fit that description. I'm not digging through resumes from people who don't understand the ins and outs of an online business with moving parts. That's what makes the difference. You get people who actually are what you're looking for. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job to the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Yeah, Rosalind, you said something that you were saying, did you want to run from it? And I can completely identify with that because I think a part of cultivating my gifts is protecting it. And so for me, what God has called me to do is a lot of responsibility. And with that responsibility is also a lot of expectations from people. And how am I trying to deal with all that? Like, I just don't want to. But I think that's a part of why God gave me the assignment, is because he knew that I would be responsible with it, and that I'm not doing it for the wrong reasons, because I don't want to do it anyway. And a huge part for me to cultivate the gift is to protect it, because one thing I've noticed just as I continue to do the things God called me to do is manipulators come. People who see what you can do for them, or the draw or the pull that you have. So they want to say, the churchy ones is the worst, because they start to prophesying on your life just so they could try to manipulate you out for their own good. But I'm going to hop off my soapbox with that. But
Girl, listen, we don't have all day, but we could go on a whole.
We could, because they'd be slick to slide in. God said that you should help me. Girl, he ain't tell me that.
Baby,
somebody sent me an email one time, prophetic word for Tatum Iommi K at the end of it. I would love to come on your podcast. Boy, if you don't get out of my freaking inbox, blocked. Like, what? Or even people in real life who, you know, just start to see the impact that you have. They try to, it's interesting to say the least.
Yeah.
So, for me, a big part of just continuing to walk in the gift and cultivating it is to protect it. And a big part of protecting it is operating in a gift. Because even people, well-meaning people, will try to manipulate your gift as well. So they might say, I've had people ask me, and it's the most irritating thing. Do you have a word for me? Why are you asking me that?
Right.
No, I'm thinking about what's for dinner. I don't have nothing deep to say. You know, not feeling like I have to be deep because my gift is speaking and being able to, you know, help transform people. I don't have to perform for you. Speak what God tells me to speak. And other than that, I'm going to be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Like, girl, the word that I got now is not one that the Lord would be happy with. Quit talking to me.
And I've been having to clarify, like, if I'm saying this is Tate, like, this is me. This isn't, like, oh, God is speaking to Tatum. No, I'm just talking to you. Because sometimes people will try to manipulate that gift and for me, a big part of it too is making sure that I remain responsible. And I will tell people, I don't know. You should pray about that.
Yeah.
I remember it was a big thing, not a big thing, but it was a thing on the podcast where somebody had sent a message and she told me that she had, what happened? Pretty much she had said she prayed about something. And she was waiting to hear from God about it.
and she hadn't heard from God yet, something, but she wanted to hear what I had to say. And I was like, I don't have anything to say. And I read the question on the podcast because I wanted to prove a point. Don't make me God because I've had an impact in your life. I'm not God. Yes. And if you're telling me that you are going to pray about it, or you are praying about it, but you want to see what I say, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to be quiet and tell you to go to God, and I'll probably pray for you offline, but I'm not saying anything, because you're not going to put me in a place that I don't deserve to be, and I'm not going to let you do that. It's enough people that are making themselves God for the audiences that they've been blessed with, and you just can't do that. You have to be responsible. It's enough cults. It needs to be more church.
Come on.
So I'm going to get off my soapbox again.
You can get on it. You can stay there, sis.
I'm like, we about to have a whole nother conversation.
That's a whole different podcast. Mm-hmm. But it's true. And I just want to piggyback and say this is the thing. Protection is so important, but I think it's really understanding that you, at the end of the day, aren't God. And I don't want their responsibility, nor do I want that type of, that ain't it. And really, I got, I got a whole child to take care of. Like, I got enough stuff going on already. And so I think, like you said, protection, that's so good to remember. And everything you do, but always, like you said, too, protection and also knowing who you are, because those two things carry and help you carry it, to know that God is the center of this anyway, child. I'm not, like you said, I'm not really even thinking about this. I'm really thinking about what is for dinner. I'm really thinking about what am I about to make my kid, because I got to cook for this person as well.
Mm-hmm. Look, y'all just saw me eat my whole lunch in the middle of this. So.
I agree, because what happens is people will make you this little G God, and you're like, I didn't even ask for that. And you can still love people and turn it off. Jesus was like, see y'all, I'm gonna slip away. He slipped away a lot. And he still loved people. He still blessed people. But he definitely took the opportunity to slip away to protect his gifting. Everybody couldn't be around him. And so it does not mean, sometimes we take Christianity as meaning like I have to be Christ. No, I have to look like my daddy, but that's about it. We're still two different entities. I get to share revelations and things that he's taught me. I get to be a reflection of him, but I'm not him. Like my dad, my earthly dad can pull up to the military base, pull out his ID. They gonna let him on. Because I'm married now, I know I may look like him in the face, but I don't have access to that because I don't have the clearance. I'm not God and I don't have the clearance. You need to seek God for yourself. Okay. Because in doing that, you're building your own spiritual muscle. You're in a relationship with God. And so really in this space of Christian culture, because there's all kind of cultures, child, there's worldly culture, and then there's Christian culture, where we take these people who are just people, okay, they put their pants on one leg at a time, they have to go to the bathroom and poop just like everybody else, like, y'all, because for real, because we like glorify their whole life. There's one person in particular who I'm thinking about, and child, she was a good one for it, okay, where she had all of these women worshiping her instead of God. And I'm like, ain't no way. And even later down the line, it come to find out she was doing all of these wicked things in the background. And they have a whole church, and like it's like a cult following. And so that's the same thing that got the devil caught up. You wanted God's glory so bad that it knocked you out of position because you didn't understand your own identity. I know who I am, and I know where I belong. I'll be over here. I'll pray for you. If God tell me to, because I ain't gonna be wasting my prayers either. Like my intercession take energy, and if God ain't telling me to sow my seed there, I'm not about to
talk about it.
You better seek God for yourself.
Come on, John, I forgot my second question. I'm glad I wrote it down, because you just said a whole entire word. So while we let that marinate for a second, we talked earlier, a lot of us talked about being a strong friend And I believe the type of women that we draw into the society are also strong friends. So how do you guys continue to grow in Christ? Because like we said before, seasons, you continue to grow. You ain't never arrived nowhere. It's just always a growth process. How do you continue to grow when there's so many people trying to get you to pour?
Mm-hmm. Slipping away.
Yeah, I was going to say too, you gotta know the things that, I will never forget this. And I even tell clients this now. I remember when I was pregnant, Tatum told me to make a happy list for before I had Elijah. And I'm telling you, there were so many times I pulled away to go do things on the happy list. Starbucks is just a thing now. Just get me a Starbucks gift card at this point, because it was just always on my list. But I say that to say, like, that was a way for me to remember, oh, this is too much. You need to know your boundaries. And when we're overwhelmed, it's because we've allowed a boundary to get crossed, whether it's personally, in business, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And if you get drained, you're going to project that drainage. And so I think if you just have to know yourself, I think one, I would credit that to really just having language, knowing how to express. And also, like I said, too, therapy, healing, walking through that process with God, really paying attention to, okay, you're doing too much, Roslyn. Okay, right. You need to go to sleep. Okay, you need to just get off social media. Like, I think we don't really realize how much social media impacts the way we're thinking about ourselves subconsciously. We're always comparing ourselves and really just understanding that there are so many things that you can become drained in that you may not know. And so having to have a space to know when things are too much. I know, like, in business especially, you're learning this on the go. Like, there are times where you're realizing, oh, I need to delegate this. Oh, I need to get a system that makes this easier. Oh, I need to redo the way I do things in my daily life to make things fit. Because in business, you're especially as a solopreneur at times, you're doing a lot of things by yourself for a while until you get a team. And I think just having to learn that too, as a wife and as a mom for myself, it just means like there's a different level of sacrifice. There are some things I just won't do now to protect that. And that's not mean, that's not rude, that's just boundaries. And I think as strong people, people respect boundaries more when you put them up and you're consistent. But when you're not consistent, it only always gives an opportunity for overwhelm to occur. So I would say being strong means, or even with that, just maintaining boundaries consistently and really knowing my triggers and things that overwhelm me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. That's really good. I agree with, like, rest, taking up time away. I know sometimes, like, I'll get myself to that burnout place and I'll just be like, all right, let me close my computer because, like, I'm doing too much. Like, and you can literally feel, it's just not good. And I know me, I carry stuff like in my shoulders and stress and stuff like that. But I think another thing for me that I even implement within the society, like them prayer calls, I'd be like, all right, I need a little break, y'all. Like, and that's why I love, the community has been even so good for me too. And I love the ladies so much. They always volunteer. Like, we'll have guests for like 2 months sometimes. I'm like, yes, y'all, I appreciate that because I need time to refill, you know, as well. So that's also a pleasure. And I think that goes with, hey, I need help, you know, extending to your community and telling, you know, your people, if someone can help you, like saying it. And I know for me, I'm very independent. And I don't like asking for help, but I know this year I really delegated a lot, even with getting an assistant that was like amazing. And like I said, asking for help with the prayer calls, but yeah, taking that time away. And I think one thing I want to start implementing that I was like doing in my last relationship, like we would kind of check in with each other once a week, but now, you know, that's not it. I want to keep doing that, but I want to do it within myself. So I'm going to like set a reminder on my phone, like, Kev, how you feeling? What's going on? Just so that it's, it's being triggered through my phone because I don't always got my phone. So just a reminder, like, to check in with myself, because like I told you guys, I can just keep going and going and going. And sometimes it's not the most healthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, it's been a couple things. One, having solid community that is trustworthy, like good wise counsel. On more than one occasion, Tatum has had to tell me to go sit down, like, go have several seats over there and don't get back up. Sit down right now. Right now. And so having people who can identify that, even my husband, who if I feel like I could be feeling some kind of way and my behavior can be off, who can identify that and kind of help me get to the bottom of it. So that's another reason why community is so critical. And what I love even about the Super Society is that it's not just us. We're empowering people within the community to pour into one another. So now the four of us aren't just being pulled on because someone else, I cannot be everything to everybody. I was single for about 3 seconds, okay? So I've been with my husband since I was like 18, like I'm 31 years old. So I cannot speak to, I feel like it's irresponsible for me to speak to a single woman about how to navigate your single season. And I did it for 3 days or whatever. Like, you know, it was not something that I had to live through and go through. But there are other people who may have a story. And that's what's beautiful about the body, right? The lungs aren't out here trying to be the kidneys. The kidneys not out here trying to be the eyeballs. We all have a purpose and a role to play. And so building even those tribes within the society or within the Super Society, they're able to meet up for brunch. I think Atlanta, Houston, they're meeting up for brunch and going out. And it allows them to pour into one another, them to be poured into, and for us just to be able to sometimes sit back and not feel like I have to show up all the time. Mm-hmm. I also feel like another thing that's been really great is me realizing that my strength is not enough. So I ain't trying to be strong no more. It's mm-hmm. God's strength. In my weakness, that's when his strength is made perfect and it becomes evident. So I don't even have to be strong. Mm-hmm. I can just show up and truly lean in on God. So when someone asks me for a prayer request, instead of me trying to carry that cross, I can cast that care with my prayer, cast it, because it's above us. We ain't got time. See the manager, because I don't have to do that. And then the last thing that I've really tried to start being better at is not only taking a break, but enjoying life. We sometimes be so safe. We don't be having no fun. We are here, everything is a business conversation. And I will, because I love God, I will go hard in the paint for God. Like, I'm up in the midnight hour trying to navigate. My brain is just, it can do that. I can work and do so for an extended period of time. And so being more intentional, because yes, we're in spiritual warfare. Yes, all of those things, but Jesus came so I could have life and have brunch more abundantly. That's what my version is.
You know what?
That's what it is. Vacations more abundantly, because we are still to taste and
see. I received that.
Even now, I can taste and see that the Lord is good and it's French toast. When I still have God.
You know what? I'm about to fall.
I can still have God. Sometimes we're so serious that we can have fun. And sometimes it's hard, because then the super saints try to come in and tell you that you, but is God pleased with me?
Mm-hmm.
That's all that matters. Is God pleased with the level of, in the way that I've shown up today? Because God rested. He made everything, including me, you, and all of this planet. If he was like, you know what? I'm off today. What makes me think that I don't have to be off today? It's in those moments where we rest that, one, we're building community. Two, we are allowing space for God to be God. Like, I was scared to quit.
She was into it.
I'm mad. See, the devil be out here because he don't want y'all to get this. Well, y'all gonna get it. No, so I, at one point I was working two jobs and going to school. And God told me to quit my second job. And my husband was also like, something got to go. Like, you can't, we talked about you regulating your pay because I will work myself into the ground. And we had just bought a house. And I said, you know what? God, I can't quit this job. Like, that's my extra money. And God said, so you want to be Jehovah Jireh, not me? And I said, I'm going to send in my resignation letter. That's what I'm going to do. So even resting, that gives God the space to do.
Y'all made me crack up. I'm done.
Y'all look, I'm back.
You baby, you giving us real robot right now. You're giving us pause for the calls. So I'm that ain't it, girl. That ain't it, sis. I'm gonna tell you now. What you just said, that wasn't it, because I ain't hear nothing. I heard a robot.
Right. I'm done with y'all.
Help her.
Lord, bring her back.
Bring it back. All right.
She done froze again. Poor baby.
Oh, man. Y'all are funny.
All right. While she get herself together. One of the things that helps me, one is having boundaries and enforcing them. Like, I'm cool on being a strong friend. Like, I'm good. I can help people without me being their solution. And that's really like freed me. So even if I can help you, if I don't have the capacity to, I'm gonna just send you somewhere, send you a resource that'll still help you, but I'm helping you without depleting myself. And for me, like I'm real big on self-awareness, and I have to check in with what I know what I need to operate at my best. One of those things is rest, because I go to bed. Okay. Everybody know you text me after 8:30. You're not getting a response until the next day. You'll probably get it early in the morning because I wake up super early, but don't text me late at night. I'm not responding because I am asleep. There's no reason you should be calling me. Call, if it's an emergency, you call 911. What I'm gonna do? Don't call me. I'm gonna go to bed. So just making sure that I, you know, sleep. Even when I first had my son, BJ was like, okay, we need to figure out a system because I don't really like you and all this you got going on right now. Like, go to bed. Give me the baby and go to sleep because you need
you be sleep. You not yourself.
You just not yourself. You're not. But for me, just really setting those boundaries. Also, I'm not really friends with people who really be depleting me. I think the people in my life, and I'm grateful for that, respect me enough to not leech off of me so much to where I have nothing left. And I think that's big. I think most of us who are the strong friend, you need to evaluate your friendships. Because people who love you and respect you are going to understand, oh, she's got a lot going on. So let me just wait. Let me actually call and see if she needs something because she has a lot going on right now. Like, those are meaningful relationships. And if you feel like you're getting depleted, you got the wrong people around you. Yeah. I have one of my friends be like, I already knew not to call you with this. Like, as we were catching up and stuff that was going on, she's like, I already knew not to call you with this, but I called such and such and this is what happened. I was like, oh, okay. But I'm grateful that the people in my life appreciate me enough to not be trash, for lack of a better word. But one of the things, though, I went to a revival and the pastor said something that really stuck with me. He was in Genesis 1:1. And he was like, God left the whole universe undone. He could have done it all in a day, but he did what he needed to do on day one, and then that was it. He did what he needed to do on day two, and that was it. And I feel like we have this inner drive or something that makes us feel like every single thing we have to do in life has to get done today and right now, when that's just unrealistic and it's unnecessary. It's okay if it's undone. It's okay if I just put this thing to the side and deal with it tomorrow. It's not procrastinating. Sometimes I do. Talk to Rosalind about that professionally. But sometimes it can actually just wait, and that's okay. But that's what I do to, you know, just make sure I protect myself and continue to grow, and just having the right people around me to hold me accountable and to pour into me as well. So before we wrap up, hopefully Kavaya come back before we're done. I want you guys to share, because we're calling this the Super Society, and it's our membership community where a bunch of like-minded women, we just come together and grow in faith and business. And so this is something that we're all going into the new year doing together, and just bringing our perspective gifts to the table. So I want you guys to just talk about what you're bringing to the society in a new year and what you're most excited about.
So I'll start. So for those of you that don't know, my name is Rosalind. I am a licensed therapist. I hold an LCSW, and I'm going to be talking about mental health. But I'm also going to be bringing in perspectives around that. I'm also going to bring in perspectives around, I need to find a better name for it, but it's basically time management coaching. And I've been doing that for almost 2 years, which is crazy to me, child. And really helping, my biggest desire is to see us actually walk out what we have been holding in our minds, holding the visions God has given us, and not procrastinate and self-sabotage. So I'm going to really be bringing to the society weekly things where the women can actually have something practical that they can do, where we don't have to over spiritualize it, but really make it practical. And so that's what I'm going to be bringing to the society. But I'm also going to be doing like podcasts, book clubs. I am an information lover. I love me some good information. I love me a good podcast. I love me a good book. So I'll be doing that, and just really just being there talking, child. Okay. Because I already talk too much anyway. So yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm excited too. Charlotte. I'm looking at Charlotte saying Rosalind.
That's because we're twins.
I love Charlotte, okay? That first time we met when we did our podcast, my podcast console, it's like...
We have the same middle name. It's that Renee. It's the accent. The accent be making
her
us...
Her birthday is the day before mine. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah. As soon as Charlotte told me that she talked to you, I said, oh, y'all were cutting up. I already know.
It was a whole thing. Up. So I am Dr. Charlotte Walker. I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner by trade, but I am also going to be teaching Bible study. So we'll have Bible study bi-weekly. Y'all prepare yourselves. I've been known to snatch an edge or two, but it's in love. You can receive all your edges back after service. And we will continue to do what God has called us to do. No, so I'm going to be teaching bi-weekly Bible study. Really, my purpose is to allow a space for us to ask questions, allow a space for us to grow, and really make God's word practical. It's our book of instruction. And so what happens sometimes is we'll read it, but we're not really sure how to take what we've read and then apply it to our life. And so my goal is to really bring practicality to God's word. And so that way you are able to apply it, and that you can go out and do what God has called you to do, because we all have a place to serve. We've all been called to minister, which sounds crazy, but when you look up the word minister, it really just means to serve. And so all of us are ministers. We all have work to do, but my goal is to really equip you with the tools necessary to live this out day to day, so you can go out and nuck if you buck with the devil. That's what it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I plan to just continue to pour into the community. From the business standpoint, I love business, man. I can geek out all day. Like, I got super excited this week because Jack Dorsey stepped down as the CEO of Twitter, and now he's going to be full-time over at Square, which is the other company that he founded, and they're changing the name. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if I should get stock in Square, because he quit. And now I geek out over this stuff all the time. I just love business. It's so exciting to me. everything that has to do with business. So I just want to pour in resources within the society, just continue to cultivate the community. Something we're all going to be doing within the society is having in-person gatherings. Prayerfully, COVID, go ahead and don't. If sis could just get out of here.
COVID is big musty.
I'm saying sis, it's probably somebody dusty.
It's somebody's son. Right. COVID, he ain't got no job.
Listen.
He say, I got a little spot, which means he's sleeping on somebody's couch. Like, that's who COVID is to me.
Listen, I don't know if y'all watch TikTok, but this whole like Omarion dance thing with the Omnicrid that is just is like every time I see it, I just like, I know we're not on that TikTok site, it'll be out, but I just had to say that.
Please send me the video because the
Omarion dance.
Send me
the
video.
It's too funny for me.
I can't. But we're going to be doing in-person stuff. So each of us will lead an in-person gathering quarterly. We have lots of challenges and stuff that we're looking forward to. Roslyn, you're doing the first one, right?
Yes. So actually, so I don't want to make a story time, but for back in 2019, I started a challenge called the Time with God Challenge, where I basically just teach people how to spend time with God practically, how to set up your time with him, how to actually like get into your word, and then also studying the Bible. So if you are really interested in joining that, that's going to be the first challenge of the year. And I'm really super excited to be teaming up with everyone to just share the input. And so I'm really, really, if you just really want to get refreshed back into your time with God, I know that's something personally for me, I want to get back into the new year and just finding new ways to spend time with God. That's not just sitting down and reading, but just also like going for a walk or doing other things that are great. You really want to join the challenge. So I'm super excited about that.
Yes. Yeah. And I already have my title for the January Bible study. It's called The Workers Are Few. Let me tell y'all something.
Here she go.
Prepare yourself. Just prepare yourself. I said, God say what? He said, the workers are few. I said, okay, here we go.
She said you get your edges back after service.
Holy
water baggies they be selling.
Next to your communion cracker. And your juice. It's going to be in a little Ziploc for you. Because it's COVID.
You get the wine, the cracker, and your edges.
You know they sell
the beauty supply store.
They sell them now at the beauty supply store, so you know
they sure do.
Yes,
I little tattoos and stuff.
Yes, girl, wow. You can buy edges.
You can
abundantly. You can have different kind of edges. I am too. We'll have scripture cards. So we have scripture cards now if you're in the society, and I'll be updating those every month. So even if you are spending time with God, but you really want to commit the scriptures to memory, y'all know the Bible say that it is our sword. And a lot of us don't know any scriptures. And so we have like a scripture study section that I am manning to dive deeper into that, as well as having the studies, the quarterly challenges. Y'all wait, because we only talk about marriage. I got things. That's gonna be. That's it.
Is it me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm trying to remember what you said. Okay, so I'm just going to be continuing to provide you guys with the daily devotionals that I'm so glad everyone has been loving, as well as our weekly prayer calls every Wednesday, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do them on Zoom. Everything, is already in there. We switched to My Networks. I don't know if y'all talked about that, but My Networks is thebomb.com, and I'm so happy that we did that, along with my monthly live sessions, where I'm going to be touching on, a merge of like life enrichment and faith and all of those things, along with quarterly challenge, meetups. We actually have a meetup in Atlanta December, I think it's 11th. So I'm excited to see the girls.
And brunch more abundantly.
Brunch, okay? Yes. So yeah, but I'm excited to see everything that's going to come. I feel like I feel like I've already felt the shift really with us shifting the platform. So I'm just excited to see, you know, what God is going to continue to do through this platform.
Absolutely. Well, you guys, if you want to join the society, you can join us for free for 2 weeks, a free 2 week trial. You can go to blessedandbossedup.com/community to learn more, to come in and try us out, to see who all in there, who's in your area and all the things. We are so happy to just continue to expand our territory and serve in this capacity. And it's lit. Okay. The society is the place to be.
Did you talk about how we were able to like help families?
No, I didn't even talk about that.
We do whole church. We don't do play church. We are really a community. Like we do whole, like whole church. Okay.
Yeah. We have people who, I remember when the pandemic first started, it was like people back to back, mortgages being paid, car payments being paid.
Yeah.
People who expressed that they had a society member took care of it. It was just amazing. And even now, I asked if anybody had any need for the holiday season, because it's been a rough few years for a lot of people. And so people just come together. One of our members is taking care of her three nephews. People are taking care of the whole Christmas list. Like I posted the Christmas list thinking, okay, put your name next to the item you're going to get. People are taking care of the whole Christmas list, sending cash apps like, okay, Tatum, I want to sponsor this family. It's just such a beautiful thing. And this is just happening within our local community. We didn't even have to go out and solicit anything.
Yeah.
We just opened up the door of how can we be there for each other within this community. And it's amazing, man. I love it here.
Yeah, and in business too, like the business directory, like people working together and like being able to employ people within the society to do work because we're a body and we all have different gifts. Like I'm like, this is church. Like this is ministry. This is what it looks like when it's done in excellence and when it's done in a way that everybody benefits, right? Like my pastor always talks about, like, it'll never make sense to him how your pastor pulling up in a Tesla, but your bills can't be paid. Like that's a problem. That's not what it's supposed to look like. And so I love the society because it's all the things, like it's all the things that I wish I had when I first started. It is now with the four of us, full lifestyle. It's your faith. It's your business. It's lifestyle. It's your emotional health. And so, y'all, I mean, I ain't saying it just because I'm part. First of all, I've been a part of society.
Day one.
Facebook group. So this is not something that I'm just saying because I'm a part of it in a leadership position. I'm saying that I've had the opportunity to watch it grow. And it is beneficial. It is, it's just added so much. Like me and Roslyn met through the activities of Tatum and the society. Like this is amazing. It's amazing.
Yes. Well, thank you, Charlotte. Appreciate that. Yes. Make sure you guys go to blessedandbossedup.com to start your free trial, learn more about the society. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. It's probably going to be a two-parter because we've been on here for a whole hour and 45 minutes. But shout out to everybody on YouTube who is watching this. If you guys are listening on the podcast and you want to see all the behind the scenes faces and banter, check it out on my YouTube channel at Tatum Tamia. And that's it. I love you guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye, YouTube.